In this episode, we hear not from one, but from two people who are emotional wellbeing and mental health coordinators for Essex County Council. We start by talking with Leanne about how they got involved with the Multischools Council and how children's feedback is going to be used. Okay, so Leanne, could you tell us about your journey into education?
Yeah, so I originally did a degree in playwork and youth studies way back in the day, and then I worked in various roles supporting children and families, such as children's centres, women's refuges and schools. I then taught and trained as a primary school teacher, working in Essex schools. And then following that, I became a specialist teacher within Essex County Council for social, emotional and mental health, SEMH needs, and studied for a master's degree in that specialism. And now I am an emotional wellbeing and mental health coordinator within the SEN Strategy and Innovation team.
Brilliant. So you mentioned obviously the SEMH word there. What's driven you towards that type of work, do you think, Leanne?
It's just something I find really rewarding. It's more than the development of a child in terms of their learning, which obviously as a teacher, your primary role is as an educator. But I just think the development of the whole human around their social and emotional development is really important. I'm really passionate about it, and that's what's driven the journey I've been on since day one, really.
Obviously, I've worked with you a little bit this year because you attended the multi-schools meetings. How were you involved in those meetings, just so everyone else knows, and how were they useful to your role?
Yeah, so we felt really lucky to be able to visit the multi-school council meetings in the spring term, and we found it a really useful experience. One of the themes that we're currently focusing on in our work is the language of emotional wellbeing and mental health, and what we can all do to improve our understanding and make it easier for children and young people to talk about. So we asked the council what language they liked, what they found helpful when talking about their emotions, and equally what they didn't. We also asked them who they're likely to seek support from, and tried to find out what they find useful in managing their own wellbeing, so their own self-regulation strategies. And the feedback we got from the Multischools Council was really useful, because it showed us how emotional wellbeing and mental health is understood by children and young people today, which as adults we can sometimes forget, because our understanding's moved on and comes from an adult perspective. So it really gave us some invaluable insight.
Absolutely. And as you know, I always make it clear to anyone that wants to come to those meetings that it's great they want to get the views. However, there has to be, you know, a pathway to where those views are going to actually go. So I know you won't be able to maybe say specifically exactly where, but could you give us a bit of description on, you know, how those views will be used, really?
Yeah, so we shared what we collected from the Multischools Council back with you, so that the children and young people could see what was said by their peers from the other groups, and hopefully they'll get a picture of the, you know, what's going on beyond their own group and for Essex as a whole, giving them that sense of belonging with others. But then also we've used the feedback, we've already started to use it to inform some of our developments on some of our project work. One example that I can give is that they're being combined with the views from some other forums that we've spoken to, so other young people's forums and some family forums, and that's contributing to the development of some new guidance that we're working on about how to talk about emotional wellbeing and mental health in Essex, because we want to promote this shared understanding that will hopefully make it easier for everyone to understand what we mean when we talk about emotional wellbeing and mental health. And that's particularly at different levels of need. People can get confused about what it means at different levels. So for example, one word that we might hear is the word crisis, and that can mean one thing to one person, something different to someone else. So we're aiming to develop this guidance that provides some clarity around the language that we use, so that children and young people feel heard when they're talking about it and feel understood without that fear of judgment or stigma. But going forward, we want to keep working with the Multischools Council to make sure we are up to date with what they're feeling currently, and then use that in any new ideas, new resources or provisions. So hopefully they'll be happy to keep having us back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's something we always say, is that, you know, you might speak to a group 1 month, and then, you know, 6 months down the line, their views and their experiences can change very much. And especially now, if we consider everything that's been going on. So I'm not going to mention that so much, because I'm also going to speak to Beth as well, who may go into a bit more detail around that. Could you just tell us why it's important that we do listen to young people, and especially around mental health? Why are their views so important?
Our children, young people are developing at a time when, you know, particularly right now with everything going on, they're developing in a time where things are complicated, and the experience they have are going to shape who they become. You know, all of what's happening now is their preparation for adulthood and, you know, longer life learning. And we need to take into account the impact that these events and any events, whether they're big or small, are going to have on their emotional and social development. And I think sometimes as adults, we might take for granted that, you know, well, we've all made it to adulthood safe enough. But, you know, hindsight's wonderful, and we can look back with rose-coloured glasses. We need to hear what the children, young people are saying about how they are experiencing the world now.
Yeah.
Because as adults, we won't understand it in the same way.
So as I've said, obviously, this is slightly shorter because we are going to be speaking to Beth as well, who's maybe going to go into detail about some of the other different parts. But I always give people the opportunity. Was there anything extra that you wanted to add into anything you said, Leanne?
Okay, so the role of emotional wellbeing and mental health coordinator is new. It came about as part of the restructure of the Essex County Council SEND services last year. So Beth and I started together on a secondment from July 2019, and then that role was made permanent in January. And although there are the two of us, myself and Beth, we also have our manager, Steve Whitfield, who I believe you're speaking to.
Yep.
And he is the strategy lead for SEMH within the SEND Strategy Innovation Team as well. Our role is to develop and drive forward that strategy for Essex schools and settings. And also part of our role is to report into the Emotional Wellbeing and Mental Health Strategic Board, which is a collaboration between services that aims to continue the work towards more joined up offer around emotional wellbeing and mental health for young people. So it you know, it's quite a broad scope, but with a very specific focus on emotional wellbeing and mental health.
Yeah, no, good. That's really great as well that you've expanded on that, because I know we've spoken a lot recently about the new SEND structure, and it just gives more information to parents who may be listening to this. So thanks very much, Leanne. And yeah, thank you for your time. We now hear from Beth, who tells us a little bit more about the role, but also the impact of COVID-19. Beth, could you start by just telling us about your journey so far?
Yeah, of course. So originally I studied a BA Honours in primary education, and I love teaching children in both Key Stage 1 and 2. I then did a SENCO award and became the school's Special Educational Needs Coordinator, because this was a particular area of interest of mine. I then joined Essex Local Authority as a behaviour support teacher, and this developed into a specialist teacher for pupils with social, emotional, mental health needs. And to do this, I also did a master's in psychological therapies. So now I'm also a psychotherapist for children, young people and families. And then over the last year, I've now taken on this new role with my colleague, Leanne Canning, as an emotional wellbeing and mental health coordinator for the education department, for the SEND Strategy and Innovation Team of Essex County Council.
So a raft of roles there, and a raft of experience. And obviously we've just heard from Leanne in this podcast as well. So obviously your role is a new role, but... Mm-hmm. This situation is obviously very new for us as well. How has your role kind of changed, and the support you're providing changed throughout COVID-19, do you think?
The impact of COVID in itself is something that we're now continuing to put into all our work, and making sure that it's at the forefront of our minds, and thinking about how this is also then intertwined in all our work into the future. But from a practical and logistical point of view, more than ever before, we have to be flexible and follow it, obviously, the government guidelines and ECC guidance around how we carry out our work in these new ways of working, what priorities we need to make. And, you know, being a part of the strategy and innovation team, it doesn't really affect our work too significantly, because fortunately, we have the technology we need to support us doing our work. But where we won't be able to carry out some of the work remotely, such as delivering certain trainings and attending certain meetings, we have careful planning and arrangements that will be made to enable us to do that face-to-face contact moving forward.
Yeah. So I think that's reassuring for people to hear as well, is that that support will still be there, because, you know, there are other ways that we can work and support young people. And obviously that's the crux and the most important thing that all of us are trying to do. We know from speaking with schools over the last few weeks that schools are worried about the impact it's going to have on children. What are your thoughts?
So, yeah, undoubtedly, we can't deny that what's happened as a result of COVID-19 on children and young people and their families and staff, you know, on top of all these other pressures of daily life, it will inevitably have an impact physically and psychologically. And this could affect their emotional well-being and mental health, both positively and negatively. And I suppose that doesn't just mean in the short term, but also longer term. And we need to be mindful of this because of the ripple effect our experiences can have over time. However, what we do know, which is very positive, is that Essex is advocating that schools and settings focus upon prioritising children and young people and staff's emotional well-being and mental health, you know, as they return to school and settings. And I suppose if we prioritise this holistic recovery curriculum as a priority, then children and young people will have the space and time they need to develop their knowledge and skills, which will then support them, you know, maintaining and strengthening their resilience and emotional well-being and mental health over time.
Yeah.
So all staff in, you know, schools and settings also have access to our Let's Talk Recovery and Returning to Education Settings free webinar. And this is on the Essex Local Offer. And it's got two webinars, one which is supporting staff wellbeing and the other which is supporting children and young people's emotional wellbeing and mental health as part of that recovery curriculum. But also schools have access to our free whole school Essex training offer, which is the trauma perceptive practice. So this is really useful, you know, because COVID may be quite traumatic for a lot of children and young people. So it's designed to support adults to develop a better understanding of trauma and how to support all children and young people's emotional well-being and mental health.
And I think that the timing couldn't be better, really, with the kind of the TTP stuff that's being rolled out. And I know Steve mentions that within his podcast as well. So really, I know you've just mentioned there is a lot of support online and you'll be making schools aware of it, but how is Essex going to ensure that, you know, schools do access that? I mean, is there any plans to like really try and implement, you know, those levels of support? Because it's great having the support, but, you know, how are we making people aware of it?
Absolutely. And I think it's a really good point, because people access things in lots of different ways. They have their preferred way of, you know, accessing that support. So there's a lot of online stuff being put out there on our local offer and Essex Info link for children, young people, families and also staff. But also we have our quadrant teams. So we have inclusion partners, EPs, and we also have the SendOps team. And they can support schools by offering that, you know, support and coaching. So schools and settings can go to cluster meetings to really think about all of this and work it into their action plans moving forward. And also the school improvement partners will also have this on their agenda and in mind to make sure that schools feel really supported moving forward and to make sure that they know where to go if they need the support. And we also work really well and really closely with other services, so UMS, social care, you know, and it's a real collaboration moving forward that we hope that this really supports us to develop.
You've mentioned a couple of key things there around the inclusion partners. We hope to speak to some of them as well in the future, so we can, you know, again, spread more awareness about their role. But also, obviously, you mentioned UMS there as well. And we're always talking about, you know, it's a multi-agency response when we're looking at children's mental health.
Absolutely.
So really, really key. So there's just one more thing I wanted to come on to now. It's just about how you see your role progressing. So obviously this is a new team, so there'll be, you know, plans in place, I'm sure. But over the next couple of years, how do you see your role developing?
It's a really good question, because emotional wellbeing and mental health is always going to be a priority and important. And it's a huge component of us as humans being well. And that with the current situation, it just highlights that. So really, our work then progresses and evolves in combination with the changing needs of the Essex community, but also along with the ECC service plan and joint working and collaboration with other services. So it's all amalgamating all of that work together to help us to develop and strengthen the best possible offer we can provide the children and young people's and families, not just now, but, you know, longer term, all the way into the future.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point as well. The fact that, you know, it is always evolving, and you and Leanne have both attended multi-school meetings already as well. And Leanne spoke about that at the start of the podcast about how you collected children's views and how they're going to be used as well. So I think that's a really important aspect. So thank you very much for your time, to both you and to Leanne, and I know people will be really interested to listen to this, and we'll look forward to looking at some of the stuff that's in place for when children return to school.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Beth.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.